bullets too. Okay, you're listening to Jewish Night with me, Basil Herwald. Now, Dennis Shasha has written a new book called Iraq's Last Jews, and I was keen to get hold of this, and Palgrave very kindly sent it me. It's published by them. I enjoyed it, and I spoke to him earlier tonight from his home in New York City. Yes, we do get about here on Jewish Night. I began by asking him what brought about the book.
My parents were both born in Baghdad. My mother in 1919 and my father in 1920. My father went through high school in Baghdad, and my mother left when she was seven. She went to Lebanon and lived in Egypt. So they were both very much Middle Eastern people. My father's first language was Arabic, and he still speaks Arabic very well. So it was really a kind of roots sort of story. We have this very big culture in America of people wanting to find their roots, and so it was a little bit of that.
And you've cooperated in Iraq's Last Jews, this book published by Palgrave, Studies on Oral History. You've cooperated in that with Tamar Morad and Robert Shasha. Relatives?
Well, Robert is a relative, and Tamar is a journalist.
Uh-huh.
And very active. She writes for many, mass magazines and newspapers in America and even in Israel.
Tell us about your parents. Is their story in this book, Dennis?
It is.
Yes. Tell us about their story.
So I think the thing about their story that's really most telling is a story that my father tells about a neighbor. His dad had a house by the river, by the Tigris, and wanted to build a house for his daughter. So he begins construction of the house, and his neighbor, who happens to be Muslim, comes over and says, "Oh, this is terrible. You're building on my land." So my grandfather, my father's father, goes with him and he says, "Tell me, my friend, how am I building on your land?" Now, you have to understand that there were no borders at that time. There were no really tight deeds or anything. But the man said, "Oh, well, you know, you're building here." And he sort of pointed a meter inside of where my grandfather thought the land border was. So my grandfather said to the builders, "Okay, well, you heard the man, move the house." They were just planning the house, so it was not a big deal. And then he said to the neighbor, he said, "You have two sons, don't you? What are they doing?" And the man said, "Oh, they're not doing very much." And he said, "Well, why don't they come and work on this house? It'll be such a nice project for them." And the man was delighted. He probably went home and he said, "Oh, look how well I did with my neighbor. And my sons have jobs, and I moved their house." Now, my father takes this to be a lesson in how to deal with people in the Middle East, that by giving, you sometimes get. And in this case, he got a house for his daughter, and what he gave up was a meter of land. So it was good for him, and good for the neighbor.
Now, there are names in this book, these anecdotes of stories about the last Jews of Iraq, that we, of course, in Manchester would immediately recognize, like, for example, Dangur and Sassoon, because we have a large Iraqi community here, and indeed they have their own synagogue. I was intrigued by some of the stories in particular from around the time when Saddam Hussein came to power, Dennis Shasha. At first, he was considered to be, well, not against the Jews. Am I right?
That's right. And in fact, one of the stories has to do with somebody who goes and visits Saddam before he's really in power.
Yes.
And she befriends the wife of Saddam. And everything, and because really she's trying to plead for her husband. And Saddam probably rescued her husband either a little bit by accident or really intentionally. He removed a file about her husband of people who were going to be killed, and by removing that file, he wasn't killed.
Another story that really resounded with me, Dennis Shasha, when I was reading your book, Iraq's Last Jews, was the story, of course, it was an outrage. In 1969, there was a show trial of a number of Jews, I think 11, and there were hangings in the main square in Baghdad.
Yeah.
Some of the historians in your book, some of the people who've told you their stories, were deeply involved in that. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, I think the most telling story was of a girl who was a student. She was just a high school student, and she was going home, and she saw the people being hung. And she was really, it was just such a terrible experience for her. And she goes home, and she barely can really face her friends afterwards. It's that kind of experience where people you think are your neighbors and your friends have this happen, and then there's a big square, and there are people who are even cheering. And people, I think the Jews at that time really realized they were not... They were not among friends.
This young lady tells a story of escaping to Persia, and she, I think her mother cut a coin in half and gave half the coin to her and kept half at home, and she told the people smuggler that she would know her daughter was safe once she'd got to Persia across the border if he brought the other half of the coin home. Very poignant stuff.
Yes.
In terms of Iraq's last Jews, Denis Shasha, there are stories of people who, even in the 70s, were graduating from school and yet realizing that they had to leave. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. I think a really nice story is the headmaster of the school, Obadiah, and he managed to keep the school open because he had all these great contacts with the government. In fact, his son tells a story of before the, I guess in the 60s, where two students come to his house, and the younger student of the one that comes to the house has been failing in this guy's class. He teaches mathematics. And the older student is arguing that the younger student should nevertheless pass the test, or pass the course, because they're revolutionaries and they're helping Iraq and they're doing all this good stuff. And the professor, Obadiah, he says, well, yes, but you have to study first, and then you can do your revolution. Mm-hmm. Turned out the older student was Saddam Hussein. And the younger student was someone who became one of his lieutenants later. And thanks to that friendship, the family was able to leave, and they were able to continue running the Jewish school, where Obadiah was both a professor at the Iraqi University in mathematics, and he was the headmaster of the Jewish school.
Denis Shasha, have you been to Iraq?
Not yet, but I'm really hoping to be able to go when things settle down.
And when you get there, will you find any Jews left, do you know?
I think not, although many have converted, and so it could be that the people will maybe, hopefully, rediscover their heritage.
Well, that was Denis Shasha, and the book's called Iraq's Last Jews, published by Palgrave. You're listening to Jewish Night with me, Basil Herwald. Here's Eli Tamir to take